This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Accelerate your day with today's business headlines with Volvo Cars.
Good morning, 8:47 in the morning. I'm Koo Soo Chuang, joined by Joyce Goh, and we're looking at the business news. And let's start with the Edge Daily, Joyce, about how China's ambitious Belt Road Initiative, or BRI, as it's fondly known among industry players. Now, they could face a setback, obviously, China, because if Malaysia doesn't play ball with some of their big projects, namely the East Coast Rail Link and the high-speed rail, the whole Belt Road Initiative, which is a network ecosystem of the land and sea linkages that mimic and echo the historic Silk Road business ecosystem that China had with the rest of the world, could be could not reach fruition because Malaysia is an integral part of the whole ASEAN network, right? Without Malaysia taking part, Belt Road Initiative doesn't reach Singapore, doesn't reach Indonesia.
Yeah, so both Malaysia and China are in damage control mode now. This is what Kok King Kee, head of the Belt and Road Desk at Baker Tilly Malaysia, told the Edge Financial Daily. And he's saying that, you know, it will not only be in China's interest to see the project fail, you know. It's unlikely that the project will be derailed completely, as progress had been made up to 20% of the railway's first phase. So this stretches, the first phase is about 600 over km from Gombak to Kota Bharu.
Yeah, so this is a project which spans something like 600 kilometers from KB, as you say, to Gombak, right? Mm-hmm. Kota Bharu. Mm. And which was highlighted as a fishy, dodgy project by the Prime Minister, Tun Mahathir, because it's supposed to progress payments. A huge chunk was paid in deposits in US dollars to a special purpose vehicle without any work being carried out, because that's not part of the norm and that's not how construction projects are taking place, right? So for us to kind of unravel these projects is a huge task because, as you say, and as the Edge cites, 14% of the work has taken place. And aside even from the financial implications and the money that has really changed hands, there's huge environmental implications as well, because when I talk to my friends in the construction sector that are involved in the sector, this whole rail link passes through like maybe 10 to 15 rivers and another 5 or 10 forest reserves. So, and this whole bunch of trees that got to be cut, bridges that had been constructed, rivers that
tunnels
had been disrupted,
as well.
Tunnels as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, tunnels.
So, I mean, so many things to consider.
Yeah, well, a source close to the matter told the Edge Financial Daily that although the main contractor, China Communications Construction, has not stopped work on ECRL, it has an overall completion rate of about 14% currently, the contractor is proceeding very cautiously. So this is in quotes, Chuang. And in another quote, it says, ultimately, CCCC is a state-owned company and they need to wait for instructions from the top. And the source added that there are so far been no renegotiations made with the contractor on the subject of the cost.
And
so they're still waiting.
And I think that's where Robert Kwok comes in, because at 93 years old, he is one of the, in fact, he's probably the only Malaysian that has built amazing links with the top echelon of Chinese government, right? In his autobiography, he's got pictures with Xi Jinping, Deng Xiaoping, Hu Jintao, and a whole clutch of other top brass from the Chinese government. You've got to ask yourself, though, what kind of like elegant solution will Robert Kwok and Tun Mahathir reach with the Chinese? Because as Professor Daniel Kwa of the NUS School of Public Policy pointed out earlier this morning in the interview with Sharad, you cannot ignore the Chinese economic juggernaut. You've got to do business with them.
Definitely.
It's just what kind of contracts do you sign with them? And it is in everyone's best interest for everyone to play ball, because you cannot have a Belt Road Initiative without Malaysia being part of the whole equation.
Yeah, and the Finance Minister Lim Guan Eng said that, you know, he has said that the project at ECRL would be among the issues discussed in his upcoming trip to China. And, on top of the two pipeline contracts worth 9.4 billion ringgit, you know, one is to transport gas in Sabah and another to carry petroleum in Peninsular Malaysia.
So this is a listener that always tunes in to BFM. His name is Rob Lim. He points out quite interestingly by tweet this morning that and suggest that, in fact, I think quite rightly so as well, China uses a lot of these overseas projects to export their excess production capacity, their machines, their people, their equipment, because obviously the Chinese economy cannot support everyone at any one point in time, right? That's why there's got huge projects in Indochina, in ASEAN, in Africa, anywhere that China can export their production capacity, that's where it goes. So without ECRL, where do these people go? Where are these machines and equipment and drillers and heavier machinery get deployed? And also asking the questions as well, Rob, what is going to be carried on the East Coast Rail Link, right? Because when you look at the number of trucks and lorries on the North-South Highway or East-West Highway, not that many.
Yeah, right? Well,
a lot of our produce is electronics and electrical, and they're being already carried by air or by road down south.
Yeah, so we're still waiting for an official decision, right, on ECRL, because right now there's still nothing yet. We just know like bits of it, like on the financing and how the contracts have been drawn out, but we're still waiting to see what's going to come out from that. Also, we have some news in the Starbiz today, Chuang, front page. HSR alternative for only 20 billion ringgit.
So basically, only 20 billion.
Yeah, as,
there was a point in our country's history when 20 billion ringgit, are you mad?
Yeah, well.
No, it's like a third of what Najib inked with the Chinese.
Well, yeah, they're looking at, they're saying that an alternative proposal to have a railway link to Singapore by upgrading the present infrastructure will only cost the government 20 billion ringgit. Or, I mean, that's much lower than the high-speed rail project that will cost between 60 billion and 70 billion ringgit that they're looking at. But that will come at with a price because cheaper, you know, you have a longer travel time. About 130 minutes.
Are you not much more lah? I mean
well, that's the trade-off.
The Star got this nice little, you know, one shot image which shows that it might cost 20 billion ringgit cheaper than the 65, which is about, 35% of the price initially mooted. But it's going to take 40 minutes more to get from KL to Singapore, which is just over 2 hours. Not too bad, lah. You know what I mean, right?
Well, estimated speed is about 200 km per hour compared to HSR, which is about 320 km per hour. The Starbiz also said that the proposal will save the government some 500 million ringgit as it will not need to renegotiate with Singapore since the plans that have been put in place by the authorities in the Republic will not be disrupted. This is if they go ahead with this HSR alternative.
Yeah, because it uses the existing rail infrastructure and follows the same network line, so there'll be much less money in terms of land acquisition cost, right? Because you don't have to compensate people for getting off their land.
So you're going to look at the KTM? I think Kereta Api Tanah Melayu's existing double-track infrastructure. That's what they're saying. They quoted a source that the Council of Eminent Persons have been briefed of the alternative plans that utilises this.
Good news, Joyce. Last night, Guan Ying met Jack.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
Jack?
Apparently, yeah.
Jack Ma. Okay.
Jack Ma.
Jack, or first name basis now?
Ah, simply la. The Star wrote the story saying that Jack Ma is believed to have met Lim Guan Ying last night over an informal dinner in a Japanese restaurant ahead of their Alibaba's office opening in KL this morning. And more to the point, Malaysia Kini reporting that at 9 a.m. this morning, Lim Guan Eng's boss, Tun Mahathir, met Jack Ma. So exactly what was discussed, we don't know.
Well, I think one expectation is that...
In fact, the meeting isn't taking... So it's going to take place in 5 minutes' time.
Soon. So
if Jack is listening, he might call us after that and say, hey, guess what I talked about with Mahathir, right?
Yeah, hopefully, yeah, because first name basis with him, right? So we're expecting him them to discuss the Digital Free Trade Zone project. That this was... the DFTZ was launched under the Najib administration. So it's a regional logistics hub set up by the Alibaba Group and the Malaysia Digital Economy Corporation. So be interesting to see what happens from the discussion and what is the future, or if there is a future for DFTZ.
Just waiting for some Malaysian comedian to make fun of this whole Alibaba Group company office opening in Malaysia and the Alibaba way of doing business in Malaysia, right? Waiting for them to make some joke about that.
Actually, Tun Mahathir has said that the DFTZ project would continue.
Oh,
so
good.
Said that. So it's just to see, I guess, what or how it continues. It'll be interesting to see what comes out from that.
Okay, let's move along to a little story from The Edge Weekly, which we picked up. It's about how Navis Capital Partners, one of the bigger private equity firms in the country, might be looking to sell their 93-odd% stake in MBO Cinemas, which is the smaller rival to TGV and GSC Cinemas, and looking for about 12 to 15 times a bid, which is going to put it at about 150 million ringgit. Now, they can't sell that stake because apparently buyers are hard to come by at this point in time.
Well, I guess it depends on the price, right? Everything has a price. If you put it at the right price, a buyer will come. It's just how much you're going to sell
it for. See, Penang people will say, right, I want cheap, I want good, and I want fresh. cash, right?
We want the right price. Please don't simply use it from Penang. So, well, Naver's valuation is apparently in quotes crazy. This is according to a fund manager who spoke to The Edge.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's just, they're saying that the price is just too high. But, you know, they bought into MBO in April 2012. And, you know, with every PE, there's always an exit plan. They have to exit within, some would like to exit within 5 years. So it looks like it's about time, but it depends on how much they can get it for. And if you look at MBO's earnings, net profit is just under 5.5 million ringgit. Revenue is just under 134 million ringgit. And EBITDA is just under 10 million ringgit.
Yeah, not great numbers, you know. That's less than, that's a low single digit margins on that kind of revenue, unless there's a lot of capex built into those numbers, because they've basically doubled the number of screens in 6 years, which is not aggressive by, you know, in the larger picture. But their cost, Naver's, is about 104 million ringgit. So if they were to sell, let's say, 10 times EBITDA, which is, you know, not great, but that's probably where the market is right now, they'd be losing money.
Well, it depends on which. Recently, I spoke to Komeli. She's the CEO of Golden Screen Cinemas. And do you know that GSC is about, it's 30 years old, and they have captured about 40% of the domestic box office market. And they've grown, you know, from 140 screens in 2007 to 344 screens.
I wish they'd improved their website, because it's shonky as anything.
well, that's owned also by Robert Kwok. That business, and it contributes quite a lot to PBB Group. It contributes of over 20% to that. And she shared with me about how, you know, ticket prices, movie ticket prices have been about one of the lowest in the country. Yep. And if you're talking about earnings, she's saying that it's all about the experience of going to the movie.
Well, cinema tickets in this country are just like hotel room rates in the country, just like salaries in this country. They've all been depressed for a number of years. There's some kind of price control ceilings on these things for a number of years. Hopefully with the new PH government, these prices can start to move up, as do our salaries.
But she's saying that people are still going to the movies. It's all about, you know, the whole popcorn. Yeah,
when you look at the edX structure in the country, only out of home and cinema rising, everything else is dropping. Radio, TV, print, all dying.
Hopefully it'll start picking up.
Hopefully. Okay, we've run out of time. It's 8:59 in the morning, but after this, we're going to come back with the share prices and the KLCI. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Fuel your business drive with the Volvo S90 T8 twin engine. So cost efficient, it makes good business sense. Volvo, made by Sweden.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.